Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Play for one thing.
Hey, welcome to another team profile and projection here on Talking Baseball. We've been giving you an episode a day every day until opening day, and today we're doing the same. We're talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks World Series bound, and then they lost it, but we're still so proud of them. Those Diamondbacks, yes, the Cinderella run. They went to the World Series last year. And did they get better, Jake? Worse? What did they do this offseason?
The National League runs through Phoenix, and they added this offseason. E-Rod, come on down. Throw some innings. Let's see it. Young Jock Boing, he'll be DH inverse right-handers. Randall Grichuk, probably DH inverse left-handers. Eugenio Suarez coming in to play the hot corner. Some fun minor league invite guys. Your guy Tucker Barnhart, your guy Elvis Andrews, Jim, BBD's Kevin Newman. Who did they lose then? They lost some leadership. Evan Longoria, our guy. Tommy Pham, Joe's Kyle Lewis. Mark Melanson, mutual option declined. So, not a ton of parts out, honestly, and they added it. Kind of had some premium spots. So, Trev, that World Series lineup, how's it feeling?
It's feeling long, Pop. Just how you like it. Corbin Carroll at the top of that lineup. Big, broad-shouldered Corbin Carroll. Longo has instilled the leadership in this guy. That's why I like him. Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, a banger. When it's a righty on the hill, Jock Peterson. They're going to lead the league in cyber trucks because of Jock Peterson. So when the righty's on the mound, Jock will be the DH. Our guy, Gabriel Moreno. Eugenio Suarez at the hot corner. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. got him back. Alec Thomas, a guy that I think could take a huge step forward this year. At least I hope he does. He looks like he can. And then Geraldo Perdomo at shortstop. That's going to be an interesting thing to see how they do the shortstop position because there is some guys knocking on the door on the bench. One of those guys, Blaze Alexander, Tucker Barnhart, like you mentioned, Randall Grichuk, the other side of the DH platoon with Jock Peterson, and then utility guy Jace Peterson. Some other names to watch, Emmanuel Rivera, who played some third base, first base for them last year. Like you mentioned, Kevin Newman, Jake McCarthy, Pavin Smith. So the lineup is, honestly, it's longer than I thought it was going to be, which has been, I've heard that a lot in my life. James, talk to us about the rotation and the bullpen.
The rotation has some names you know and love, maybe. Zach Gallen, he's good. Merrill Kelly, he's good. They brought over Eduardo Rodriguez. He's a mainstay. He's steady. Brandon Pfaadt. You saw him in the postseason do what he does, rosy-faced and young. And then Tommy Henry, Ryne Nelson, both here in the fifth spot. So we got to see what's going on there. Slade Ciccone, is that how you say it?
Slade.
Oh, they left the E off in the notes. I burgundied it. Paul Sewald, closer. Kevin Ginkle. Oh, I forgot about the Gink man. What a freak. Ryan Thompson. Andrew Sal Frank. Crazy name. Scott McGuff. Gio Mantiply. Luis Frias. Miguel Castro. Damn. I forgot. You know, when teams make a playoff run like that, it's almost like you date the lineup for a little bit, and you're like hanging out with them every night, and then they got erased, and now I'm like, oh, yeah, we had some fun with the Gink man, Sewald, all these guys.
You're talking about his jowls?
He was like a cartoon character. How wide is... It was like if I was like this.
Like the like a dog, like a basset hound. Yeah, you got banged up, James.
Bruising my chin.
That's commitment right there.
Yeah.
Jake, didn't you die in the pool in game five of the World Series? Didn't that happen?
I died outside the pool. Flashback to last year. Saw another World Series clincher. Really, really fun game. Gallen Eovaldi teeing off. And I had to. Another gentleman in the pool kept saying, "Hey, you know, we score two runs this inning. You get in the pool. We hit a homer this inning. You're in the pool." It very much turned into, "We score a run. You're in the pool, little fella." Never came.
I wink at you. Get in the pool.
Speaking of been there. It's going to be funny. I love Dalton, who does our sheet. You guys probably know if you're a Talking Baseball fan. Oh, my God. You just subscribed? Click that button. Dalton is a Snakes fan. And he was losing his mind last postseason. And I love, because the storyline of the D-backs is, can they build off the Cinderella run? Can't, you know, it was an 84-win season, but they turned it on in the postseason. They took down the Dodgers. And I love that Dalton opened up the sheet with the last team to lose the World Series and not make the playoffs the following season was the 2015 Giants. So, coming up on a decade, if you lose the World Series, you still make it back to the dance. And I already said it off the rip, but the Snakes could have, like, they didn't lose a ton that they could have said, like, "Hey, we got a lot of young talent," you know, not viewed as one of the bigger market teams, although Phoenix is a burgeoning town. What? They went out and got E-Rod, who was one of the prize pitchers this offseason. They made the trade for Eugenio, who I know Seattle, they were trying to cut down on their strikeouts as a team, but that doesn't mean Eugenio Suarez is a bad baseball player, and I think the Snakes got him at a great price for them potentially for the next couple years, coming off a year when third base was one of the weaker spots in their lineup. Carroll's a superstar. It's, for me, Fott. Like you mentioned when you were going through the pitching staff, we saw a different dude in October. That is one of the things you have to circle. And then it kind of becomes a division question for me because these Snakes, like, they know who they are and they love who they are. They're going to run on you. They've got a lineup versus lefty versus righty. Like, they have an identity. And as I start to empty it out, I was just about to say how awesome Torrey Lovello is, which does note that I'm a little too close to the situation.
Okay.
A little bit. I think it was kind of like a tale of three seasons last year for the Diamondbacks. I mean, they started out hot. First half, 571 winning percentage. Second half, 451 winning percentage. So they snuck into the playoffs and they got hot. And how did they do that? How did they go and get into the playoffs last year when nobody gave them a chance? You mentioned it, man. They played kind of the new school baseball, second and stolen bases. They're taking the extra base. You know, they got a banner performance from Corbin Carroll. And they got those two starting pitchers at the top. Now we're talking about, and that was always a thing with the Diamondbacks. You know, at the beginning of the season, they're winning games and everyone's like, "Is this for real?" Look at their pitching staff. It's not really there. Like, they don't have the starters to do it. They were piecing together games. They're doing all these things. I like that you mentioned they didn't rest on their laurels. They went out and got like a legit starting pitcher that you know is going to be like a consistent threat out there. So now if Fott can be what we saw in the playoffs, which like I love like the confidence that the playoffs instill in a player. When they go out and they do it, they realize there's no baseball that they can't perform well in. Like that's the ultimate, like I've talked to so many guys that get into playoffs. And if you have success in the playoffs, you feel like the regular season is easy. Like there's like you have that confidence now. Like I can do it on the biggest stage. So I definitely can do it during the regular season. So now we're looking at a team with a legit four starters, guys that have got that experience in the playoffs. And, you know, you add to the lineup a little bit. I love you bring in, like you mentioned, third base was not great for them offensively last year. So you bring in Eugenio Suarez, who's like, he'll hit you 30 bombs. You shore up your DH position, and I think they did that's probably my favorite thing that they did this offseason was go and get the platoon killers, man. Like Grichik, I believe, has like a 166 OPS plus against left-handers, and Jock over his career has been better than he was last year against right-handers. But like you put those two together, and you're talking about like an all-star caliber DH. And like, it didn't cost him a lot of money, and they just figured out the problem. So like, this roster 100% improved. I mean, I don't know what, where they rank in the off season, you know, how they did, but like, they're a top team this off season and going out and making their roster better. Like, I expect a lot from these Snakes now. And last year, I didn't really give them credit until they got into playoffs and showed that they deserved credit. Now, the expectations are very, very high for this team. I believe they have the fourth highest win total projected in the National League over the Phillies and over the Cardinals. So this is a lot is expected of this team this year.
I gave them my like most improved or best off, whatever we graded the off seasons. It was like for their needs, best off season. I shouted out the D-backs because they replaced needs of at third base. They had a lot of people playing the position. There's a lot of decisions we made at starter position, at DH position. And like with E-Rod, with Jock and Grichuk platooning, if that's still what they're, I don't know if anything's changed in spring or anything, the DH, and with Suarez, who was a mainstay at third last year, like, you know, Lavello's job got a little bit easier. He doesn't need to find guys and play matchups if those guys do what they can do. And I like that for the regular season a ton. There's just more consistency. So we went over, I went over that in more detail on that episode with kind of more stats and nuance to it. But yeah, I think this team got better and more consistent and a little easier to just be like, hey, this is us. Let's go do it. And then, you know, Torrey Lavello is going to fire him up. He's kind of a meme of a manager. He told Merrill Kelly, he said, hey, last 9 weeks, you're the worst starter in Major League Baseball. Get your shit together. And then, I mean, when the catcher for the Phillies, like, drew, what was that story? Lavello, like, really built into all those shit-stirring storylines over the postseason.
Oh, yeah, about to go in the pool. Yeah,
Stubbs. And last year, he walked in and he said, you guys are the Dodgers' little brother? That's what he said to them. That. He called them that in the middle of the whole like clubhouse. And so get him, Torrey. Go talk shit. I'm excited. I want their attendance to reach 30,000. Let's do it.
Well, it's a burgeoning town.
It's a burgeoning town.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Suns can have a little playoff run, build into that. Make it a sports city. I think the wild card for me with this team is the bullpen. It was sneaky. The massive part of their playoff run, putting together on the back end. They, from September 1st to the end of the regular season, second best whip, second fewest blown saves, third in ERA. And we saw that continue into the postseason. Thompson stepped up. Andrew Salfrank, the man so nice, they named him thrice. Like, that was a huge part of them finishing the season and their postseason run. And I think, I'm interested to see what it looks like over 162. Paul Sewald, man, when you can say that's our closer and he's going to end the game, it's a powerful thing, and that can settle in the rest of the bullpen. So with him and Ginkle, if they can stay locked down, you're going to tap into other guys because it's just modern baseball now, right? Like, someone's going to get hot. Someone's good pitch is going to be rolling. You can find your 7-6 innings. That as long as those guys can stay on top back there, I think that's what the Snakes can build on and was the difference maker for them making their postseason run.
Yeah, I mean, Ginkle coming, the trade for Sewald, who was lights out before the World Series, I think it was 8 innings scoreless, and then Ginkle coming on and just striking everybody out. What is that pitch? Is it a slider?
It's an out.
Is it a curveball? It's an out. You're swinging and missing at that pitch. I mean, you're totally right. That changed everything for the D-backs.
Get ginked.
Get ginked. Yeah, so, I mean, look, I think to sum up, for me, like, when I think about the D-backs, is like, can you do it again? Like, you're right. Torrey Lavelle, his job is a lot easier this year. Like, he the lineup is set. He's got his platoons. You know, he's got a couple shortstops. They got a top prospect like waiting in the wings. Lawler got called up last year. Like, so if something goes awry in the infield, he's got a guy ready to replace him. Like, now it's just up to them to go do it, like to go out and prove like last year wasn't Cinderella. It was just the first year of a run of great seasons, and they have the ball players to do it. Like, I really, really like what they have done here. And to be honest with you, I thought about this too. Take, this is going to be so stupid, but okay. In my mind, it makes sense.
Yeah.
We like to cherry pick stats here. Take 2023 out of your mind.
Done.
Let's say the Diamondbacks missed the playoffs, which they were close to doing. I'm serious. So if they missed the playoffs and we didn't see them take it all the way to the World Series, and then you looked at this roster this year, do you still feel the same way about this team? Like, is it like did that postseason run and fought finding it and Ginkel coming and being a stud and then making it all the way to the World Series, does that sway us a little bit too much into saying, wow, the Snakes are here to stay?
They would be ranked a lot closer to the middle of the pack because I think we'd still like their offseason. We'd still like the Jock Gritsch platoon. You know, we wouldn't be as familiar with Gabriel Moreno. We would have liked the Eugenio move. We'd be looking at Brandon Pfaadt and Ryan Nelson on the back end and being like, not sure. I'm worried about your 4-5, you know? So it's obviously a factor, but what Brandon Pfaadt did in the postseason needs to be acknowledged.
What I'm going to tell you guys, I mean, right now, I mean, 17th in OPS last year. 20th in whip from their starters, 17th in whip from their relievers. Like, those aren't good numbers. Those are below average numbers for the regular season last year. But they made it to the playoffs. They made it to the World Series. I'm like, do we have recency bias, I guess, is my question.
A little bit.
Yeah, but I think that you deserve that if you do that, you know, and have the success in a way.
And you didn't use OPS S+. Because they were second in steals. So
I believe I'm looking right now at their roster resource page. I believe there's nothing higher than 14th besides stolen bases, which was second in the league. This is a run of the mill team statistically, below average team statistically last year. They went on a run. I don't want to. I like this roster. I'm just trying to paint the whole picture here a little bit.
Sure. Wrong.
Wrong. I do like Torrey Lovello's there like challenging them.
Well, speaking of Torrey Lovello and challenges, Trev, did you know that he had 26 calls overturned last year, which is the most any manager had, tied with Kevin Cash and Gabe Kapler, but it took Cash 55 challenges to get 26 overturned, so you're out, and it took Gabe 46 to get 26 overturned. It only took Torrey 39. He was third in overturn success rate and first in calls overturned. So whatever the system they got going over there, great. Also, if you're looking at manager stats, which obviously we know Torrey, so we got to make sure we're keeping up on him. He was pretty high in sack bunts called.
Love that.
And the Diamondbacks did have that whole thing last year, the year before, where they were like, hey, bunt with two strikes. The odds that you get out with two strikes are so high.
Anyway, yeah, might as well.
Anyway, that the odds you lay down a bunt. I think that was actually our guy, Pipe, that like gave that to him. So maybe it was the year before because they were doing that a bunch.
We've talked about a lot. Corbin Carroll, if you're at home, go look at the stats page. He won the Rookie of the Year. He finished fifth in the MVP. If his stats tick up, my goodness, and he looks every part of it. We're working on the goatee. We're going to see how that develops. And then Ketel Marte, who balled out in the playoffs. I love Jimmy's example. We dated this team for a little bit. Like, you saw Christian Walker out there. Although he had a tough postseason, incredible regular season. Corbin Carroll is a star. He is a star. And what Ketel Marte and Christian Walker can do over the course of a season, those are enough to be your secondary players. That I see what you're saying about the stats, Trev, and that's why I leaned into the bullpen a little bit because that's what really changed. And I think it's a story of last year was a lot of high-end talent, like Gallen and Kelly, where the rest of the rotation was searching. And I think they plugged a couple of those big holes that should make the team numbers a little more effective.
Jake, what do you got on Blaze Alexander?
Blaze it, baby. Can play the infield, can pick it a little bit. I mean, I think he's I think he's the Diamondbacks' third option to be the shortstop. You know, that we fell in love with Geraldo Perdomo, stud of a player, stud of a human, figuring out his platoon stuff. Jordan Lawler, man, that guy's a real prospect. They gave him a little bit of the postseason Jeter treatment. Watch from the top step. We might need you to run, but otherwise you're not really coming in. That, I don't know. It's the shortstop position that we've talked about. You know, for any team, shortstop is still the shortstop is the shortstop that you want your guy there. And I don't know. I'm viewing it as a positive. Perdomo played incredible in the first half of the season, not so much the second half. That, however, it does sort out, when it sorts out, I think it's going to be a win for the team.
Blaze, as we talk, they've given him the most at-bats this spring, and he's crushing the ball. And I think he hit really well at AAA last year. So I wonder if he's got to be part of the plan somewhere. Backup, trade, because it's a stack position. And his value's got to be going up if he starts out the year well.
There's Blaze Alexander. There's Blaze Jordan in the Red Sox organization. Typically, when you know we start seeing some names, unique names, come to fruition in the U.S. Population, there's a reason for it. I know a bunch of kids that name Rip now because of the popular television show Yellowstone. Why that are we sucks. Seeing Blaze, Jimmy? This is up your alley. I'm curious if you know.
No, I don't know. According to my third favorite website, babynames.com, it's not that still popular. 752nd.
Are we making popular. A turn?
A turn, but it was at its peak in 2015. So when was this Blaze Alexander born? So that would make sense, right? This Blaze Alexander was born in 1999.
Interesting. Like, what?
It wasn't even on the census in 99.
Just thinking, like, is that his real name, I guess? That's the question.
Blaze Shanae Alexander.
Okay. His parents are artists or something.
I think I know what his parents were into.
Mm.
What were they into?
420 on a Saturday this year. And you're, I mentioned there's a hoops team in Arizona. You can go bet on them. Because the NBA season is rolling and DraftKings is giving you a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. So if you get it right, winner, winner, chicken dinner. If you get it wrong, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $1,000 in the amount if the original bet does not hit. Minimum deposit of $5. Sign up using promo code TALKING. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers, use promo code TALKING. Get a no sweat bet. It's promo code TALKING only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. What's this over under at?
This is going to be an interesting one for us, I think.
We just ran to our phones for Tampa's over under.
You're not going to be doing it here.
I actually added more money and bet again on Tampa during this episode.
I have a theory for you. Blaze and the Monster Machines TV kids show came out in 2014. Blaze, the name for kids, hit its peak 2015, 2016. Maybe it was families that had a kid who watched the show. Blaze said that, "Mommy, Daddy, what? I want my brother's name to be Blaze," and then they did it.
Okay.
Theory ended. Okay.
I mean, Nameless Jeff, his kids are named Fox, Zuma, and Jagger. So some people just like to.
That's LA, be a little baby.
Unique. 83.5 is the win total. They won 84 games last year. We think they definitely got better as a roster, but it was a tale of three seasons, last year. I'm taking the over. I think the NL West is still pretty light. It's top heavy, in my opinion. I don't think the Padres are going to be that good this year. The Rockies are a horrendous franchise. Mm. The Giants are stuck in no man's land. So I'll take this, and I have them pegged as like a 86, 87 win team. Why'd you perk up when I say pegged?
Jim?
I'm going to take the over. I think, you know, and this is going to be a wrong opinion, but the West could finish in the same order. Is that crazy? As last year? Giants ahead of Padres? Were the Padres and Giants? Yeah, so maybe flip the Padres and the Giants. Or maybe they're...
Is this the NL Midwest?
Well, the Dodgers won 100, and then the Diamondbacks won 84 last year. So I think they could win more than 84. So I'm going to take the over.
Feels like the team got better.
And they're hungry. They want to go back. They don't want to be like the 2015 Giants.
I don't know
no,
if you.
Oh, nobody does.
I don't know if you could say that about the Padres. The Giants may have gotten better. The Dodgers probably gotten better, but they won 100 games either way. So, and I think during the season they got killed by the Dodgers again. So you don't really have to worry about that flipping. Give me the over. I mean, the line feels a little. I was expecting a 86.5, 87, which I think would have had to make you think a little bit more because they were an 84-win team last year. But I don't know, man. You got to believe in something in sports. And they went to the World Series. They tasted it. Carroll should get better. They got better players. Like, that's the formula.
Fam really helped them.
Tommy was good.
I mean, he came in just batted third and kind of, like, solidified the start of that lineup.
Most interesting man in baseball.
Good attitude on him.
Birch Smith. Go D-backs. I didn't do any names. Diddle dang.
Tommy Troy is kind of a safe one.
Yeah.
Bryce Jarvis is two first names.
We talked about
Wyatt Wendell. Get him.
Talked about Blaze Alexander for most of the episode.
Get him in Yellowstone. Zane Russell.
I don't know how to say this name. Strzelecki?
Strzelecki.
Oh, Sebi Zavala. That's an amazing name.
Joshua. Is he gone? Day.
Yeah, he's with the Mariners now.
Fuck.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.